Hello, I'm Oliver Wong.
And I'm Morgan Rhodes. You're listening to Heat Rocks.
Every episode, we invite a guest to join us to talk about a heat rock, you know, an album that burns its way into our collective memory. And today, we will be running to the sun all the way back to the summer of 2002 to talk about In Search Of, the debut LP by NERD. I'm not sure what's in the water of Chesapeake Bay, but by the mid-late 90s, it became the epicenter of some of R&B and hip-hop's most influential vanguard, including Missy Elliott, Timbaland, and the Neptunes duo of Chad Hugo, who repped Portsmouth, and Pharrell Williams, he of Virginia Beach. It would take us the better part of this taping to simply review just how much the Neptunes shaped the sound of pop music in the early 21st century, but let's just put it this way. In 2001 alone, when they were working on this album, they clocked over 100 production credits that year. Wow. NERD, which included Virginia Beach's Shay Haley, that formed a new trio, was supposed to be a side project, but it ended up taking more of their time than perhaps intended. In Search Of was so nice that NERD recorded it twice. The first iteration, known as the electronic version, came out in Europe in 2001, but stateside, it was 2002's rock version that graced our shores. A provocative decision by the group to add in live drumming and rap metal influences to what had previously been a primarily synthesized affair. That O2 version still had the muscular Neptunes touch we had first heard in the likes of Nori's Super Thug, but in many other ways, it was like nothing we were used to from them. A mix of funk and rock and soul that could alternate between being moody and melancholy to slick and shiny. The album felt like it was the smartest, coolest kids in art school deciding to F around in the studio for a few weeks and see what popped up. Perhaps they named themselves after nerds as a bit of self-effacing humor, but if we have learned nothing else about pop culture over the last 20 years, it's that the nerds rule the day. And perhaps NERD played their own role in that takeover from the yay to VA.
In Search Of was the album pick of our guest today, Pell. In prep for the chat, I took a quick trip through my iTunes and was able to confirm what I pretty much already knew. That's that I've been up on Pell. I'd love to say that's because that's how cool I am, but it's actually because of how cool he is. And because of the album that introduced me to his music, Floating While Dreaming, and the song I fell in love with first, 1111. Both are just exceptionally compelling and standouts in the year of music. That was 2014. Nola's own Pell made a decision to chase his dreams, and it's paid off for him and for us. His production styles are fresh and melodic. You gotta love an artist who can multitask. And his brother does it all. He sings, he raps, and he inspires. His brand new album, Global Warming, is a scorcher. And I'm so glad to have one of my favorite discoveries with us in the box today. Pell, welcome to Heat Rocks.
Hey, thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Thank you for joining us all the way from New Orleans. We have talked, I think, very lightly about Neptunes on the show in the past, but we've certainly have never dug that deeply into either their career or the catalog. So before we dig into this album specifically, I was wondering if we could go around the horn and just talk about how we were all introduced to the Neptunes in any capacity. And Pell, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, I mean, there are two songs that come to mind. I mean, obviously Super Thug. But I feel at that time I was more obsessed with the video than the song. But later on in life, it definitely gravitated towards my ears. But I was kind of hip because looking at me, Mace and what was his name at the time? Puff Daddy. Yeah. They really inspired me. That was one of the first albums that actually my brother had bought for me. Listen every year, but they better listen here. You cats keeping it real, you cats is on your own. Cause being broken alone is something I can't condone. Plus, it won't be long till they send me the throne. Sit gently while I'm on the Bentley phone. Why you don't like me? Cause I'm mad flying. And I found that around the same time that I was listening to Frontin', a bunch of other records from him before, or from them in terms of production, Neptunes. And I was really into the way that it translated from the instrumentals being so left of center with what was going on at the time in rap music, but at the same time, it was everywhere and it became what was popular music. And that was just something that I thought was inspiring when I started making music. But as a fan, it was unavoidable. Like, there were so many songs during those years, especially, like, I don't know, from Britney Spears to Justin Timberlake to insert anybody, man. Like, it was
seriously,
it was like, it was really everywhere. And I think even Mystical, when I was, you know, I'm from New Orleans, when I found out that they had collabed, I'm out here, I'm just like, well, where is Pharrell not touching? Where are the Neptunes not reaching? And that was just something that really, really, really inspired me. And it made it easy to love because it became like world music in the sense that the world was listening. So, yeah, big shout out to the Neptunes. There's so many songs. It's like my mind just runs through 20 right now. Attention, all y'all players and fams right now in the place to be. I thought I told y'all niggas before, y'all niggas can't fuck with me. Now this ain't fun, no small booties, no sir, cause that won't pass. Show me what you're working with. If you feel you got the biggest one, the mama come shake your ass. Shake your ass!
And shout out to all the older relatives who turn us on to music. So shout out to your older brother. We talk, you know, older siblings and relatives are great for that. So big ups to them. Morgan, how about you? What was your intro to the Neptunes?
1999. Kaleidoscope and Khalees.
Oh, wow. Mm. Truck to flames and watch it blow up.
Tell me, how you gonna see it now? So far from sincere. I think when I heard Caught Out There, which was so massive, I mean, it got bumped all the time, and then I bumped it all the time. And I remember thinking, you know, this is some old space agey left field video game sounding production, but whatever it is, I'm here for it. Like, I was just like, this is fire. Khalees was fire, Caught Out There, the song. And I remember thinking, like, where have I heard this before, though? It was new, but then I was like, I feel like I've heard it before. And actually, to Pell's point, it was on Diddy and Mace Looking at Me. And I bumped that one a lot. As you mentioned, after that, for me, it was Danger on Mystical's album. And then I started to connect the dots between where all these sounds were coming from, that there was a sonic through line, that there was a production style, that I would hear all these bleeps and bloops and be like, that's him. So by 01, they had three of my favorite jams of the year. And those are still three of my favorite jams of all time. And that's I'm a Slave for You, Britney Spears, which is just still, drop that in any club, in any city at any time. That's getting bumped. I Still Love You, 702, is still just like the fire that he did for that band, and just made me look at R&B different. See if you believe that you and me can change the world someday. And you believe me when I say I still love you. I still love you. And of course, I was heavily into Jadakiss at that time, so Knock Yourself Out is, to me, one of the all-time jams. I hate to brag. I know your man really wouldn't like the Beretta, but he'd hate the mag. And yeah, here go a blank check, rock yourself out. But in the meantime, girl, knock yourself out. Oh, you modeling, mom? Knock yourself out. Wanna let your hair down? Go ahead. Knock yourself out. Oh, you ready to move? Let's go. So they murdered 01, and then they murdered 02, and then they murdered 03. So that was my, and they just kept murdering. So that was my introduction to the Neptunes. Oliver? Yeah.
No, for me, I definitely think Super Thug had to have been the first time I even paid attention to the name, just in terms of who produced it, because that was such a big hit for Nori that year. And then they followed that up the next year, 99, with ODB's Get Your Money, which I remember.
Mm. If you want to look good and not be bummy, yo, you better give me that money.
But I don't think I really paid attention or went out of my way to be like, okay, who the hell produced this and who are they? It wasn't until 2000 with Jay-Z's I Just Want to Love You.
Give me that funk, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff.
But don't bullshit me.
Mama, give me that funk, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff.
I'm a hustler, baby. I just want you to know.
Maybe it's because, you know, you have Pharrell lacing the hook with that falsetto of his, but to me, this was the first song where I really began to think, okay, whoever the Neptunes are, I need to pay attention to what they do next. And of course, the very next year, as we've been talking about in 01, I mean, that was just the straight up Neptunes takeover. I mean, this goes back to Pell's point. Like, where were they not in 2001? Every single artist you could practically name had like a Neptunes credit on there, which was just incredible. And so they were totally unavoidable, I think, in 01 and 02, to your point, Morgan, because every major pop hit, it felt like they had a hand in it.
We can talk about their catalog a little bit later, and I'm going to bring up some of these hits because I want to talk a little bit about that later. But it was just every genre, every different artist. I think at some point, and I think there's so many songs where I said this, the same thing that Pell said, where are they not? But I think when we got to Holla Back Girl and Gwen Stefani, ooh, I was like, we talking about
right
hits that still go. We 15 years away from 20 years, almost 20 years away from this album and these and 01. And these are hits that still get bumped. So yeah, a testament to them, like, not only were they touching everything, and I don't know if they could have even known then, but these songs have held up. They've held up over the 20 years. So
that's very true. Can I say one thing?
Of course.
I really forgot about Hot in Here.
Ooh.
What the hell?
Checking your reflection and telling your best friend, like, girl, I think my butt getting big.
That was, Nelly was one of my favorite artists. Still is, but especially when I first started listening to rap. So that song was huge to me too. I just got to say that.
So many hits. Why is In Search of a Heat Rock for you?
I think it's the audio version of Selling Sex and a rock star lifestyle. It is just sex. I listen to all this, the entire record, top to bottom. There's a couple of records, obviously, with a different level of depth. And I think all of it sonically has a different level of depth. And the lyrics are so unique in the way that there's a level of tongue-in-cheekness countered with direct and very visual storytelling. So I think that overall for me, it was how sexy the album was to me. I felt like you start with Lab Dance, it's only up from here. You know what I mean? Like, I think that for me at the time, because like I said, I went back to this album when I was in high school. I first had listened to, I said that before the interview. I started listening to NERD when Fly or Die came out. Huge fan then, and you know, She Wants to Move was like everything to me, and I was stuck on that album for a while, and I didn't realize how good In Search Of was because I had not listened to it top to bottom. And when I got into high school, I was throwing parties at my mom's crib, and you know, these were ragers, some of them, and I remember Tape You and Rockstar had come on at one of the parties, and people knew the lyrics, which was crazy.
Look, I just wanna take
shape you all night.
Morgan, I had a quick question for you to follow up on this, because what this makes me think of in terms of especially Pell's point about rock and roll and sex in high school, right? When you're that age, like these are the things that really stick with you. And, you know, definitely. Morgan, you grew up in Crenshaw, but you must have known about the Fairfax scene popping off, you know, all throughout, at least in the 2000s. This to me feels like a real Fairfax kind of album, if that makes sense. And I'm wondering, but I'm gonna defer to you because I always see you as the mid-city expert here when it comes to LA culture.
100%. I mean, obviously, if you've been listening to the Showtime or two, everyone knows I grew up on 60th and Crenshaw. But
okay.
Fairfax has always been, even before Odd Future, even in the 80s, because of its proximity to Melrose. So it's always been on the eclectic side. But yeah. I feel like what both the Neptunes and NERD and Pharrell did for the culture was they gave... Before we had Afropunk, before we had, you know, awkward black girlness, they gave you permission to be weird and they gave you permission to be alternative. So what was cool about the Neptunes at that time was what made me excited was I didn't know how they were making these sounds. I didn't know if these were like geeky kids playing video games, if these were kids hanging out in thrift stores. And that's what made me so excited because they were also playing with big, big stars. And they felt like they were bringing everything they had in their backpack into the studio. And that's the appeal. That's the appeal of Odd Future. You got a bunch of weird kids rapping about, you know, you don't even know sometimes what they're rapping about. But there's a community of them with distinct personalities, and that's what NERD was. That's what Fairfax is. You got skaters, punks, band kids, ragers. You got everything there, rockers, and that was the sound to me, and that it was able to align itself with hip hop and R&B was just like, you got to be kidding me. But that's the genius of that production, that it was able to float many styles. That's the Neptunes.
Yeah,
I really agree. And the live production, like, you know, just thinking about the drums alone, you know what I mean? The mix between like programmed stuff and the live stuff really was so innovative at that time. It's like bringing Lenny Kravitz to the hood. I don't know how they did it. And it's that's why it worked. You know what
100%.
I mean? There's a level of accessibility in the fact that, you know, they work with Noriega, they work with the Clips, you know what I mean? And
right.
Like, this type of music is coming out from them. It bridged the gap before they even put out the first record because they already were doing it. And it's like, I think that's what we're hearing when we listen to this. And this is just me saying that in hindsight. When I first listened to it, it definitely sounds like what playing an Atari game feels like, I guess. Like in terms of, like, it's the exact... it's not exact, but there's a similarity there.
Yeah.
And I agree with you, because even how it would reach me, because at this time when I was listening to it in Mississippi, I feel like that's why I call it this world, the idea of like world music being something that just the world can all listen to. And that's what it is. Mm.
Girl, unlatch your bumper first, unlatch your jaw. It's cool to call me dumb, but your head is under my paw. Soon as your lips part, then your tongue, it starts my pulse, just races hard enough to pop.
Morgan, when you first heard this album, what did you think of it? What was your take on In Search Of?
You know, I gotta be honest, I didn't really pay it that much attention because in 01... I was super obsessed with a couple of albums that I just want to name check here. And I was so stuck on them. Those were the albums that I played all year long. I didn't go through 40 albums. It was just like these five. Bilal, Firstborn, Second. I was stuck. Couldn't get off of that. Obviously, self-titled Aaliyah. Informed a lot. I was a Aaliyah fan, but also she passed that year. So I couldn't get off that album. Couldn't stop listening to it. I was falling in love with Broken Beat then, so I was listening to a lot of At Jazz, an album called Lab Funk. I was also listening to John B, because I, you know, it's me, so I had to listen to my R&B. Pleasures You Like had some hits on there, and also a Jay-Z Blueprint. I was stuck on those five all year. So if I'm honest, I actually didn't check for this album until 06. It was much later. Yep.
Wow.
I checked for it later. And I told this story when we sat down and talked about, I think we talked about late registration, but that office that I was in with that 3CD changer.
Yeah.
This was one of the albums. My colleague was super into this album. And that just kept getting rotated. Imagine listening to Kanye and this. And I think I had a house music album. So that was in, you know, week after week. And that's what made me fall in love with it. But sometimes that happens with albums. You get turned on by someone else that's obsessed with it. And then you get obsessed with it. And that's what happened to me. So late to the party on this one. But when I got to it, I was like, this is fire.
I don't remember what my expectations were of this album. All I know is when I first heard it, it didn't meet whatever those expectations were. This was not it. I don't know what they were, but I just know this was not what I was expecting. And I think part of it was until that point, until this NERD project came up, I just really thought of the Neptunes as behind the board producers as opposed to recording artists in their own right, even though, yeah, sure, Pharrell sang on stuff, but they weren't really putting out, from my memory or perspective at the time, they weren't putting out their own music. This was the first real intro, I feel like, for that. And sure, you know, Pharrell sounds great on the hook with his falsetto and on different songs, but stylistically, In Search of Me felt so eclectic that it completely confounded whatever I imagined the Neptunes would sound like on their own. And I want to distinguish that NERD and the Neptunes are similar, and of course there's overlap. They're not necessarily identical entities because you do have that third person in the mix. But what it reminded me at the time was this felt like the early OO's version of what we talked about 10 years before that with the term like alternative hip hop. And in fact, I think one of you even used that phrase at some point in our discussion. You know, this felt very alternative in a way, just updated with early 2000s production styles. And so, and even going back to listening to this album now, I can hear more consistency within it that reminds me of other stuff happening around that time because the Neptunes, as we've been talking about, they were so dominant. But there's still such a mix on here that it still feels very eclectic, you know, even 20 years later, or almost 20 years later.
Definitely. Sonically, I think there are a couple of songs that scream to me that, like, you know, the Neptunes and NERD were merging in terms of what you were hearing on the airwaves.
Yeah.
And I think like Rockstar is definitely one of those. I think even Tape You, I know I mentioned it earlier, but Tape You, just the glitchiness of the drums in that just reminds me of, like, you were talking about the song with Hove. Certain song, obviously it's different textures, but the rhythms are so similar that it feels as though you're already trained to listen to it. That's why, like, my expectations for it are similar to yours. Like, I didn't know what I wanted from it, but when I listened to it, I already understood it because there was so much out there like it. It was just using the NERD textures of, like, the live drums, the more, I would say, distorted guitar, overdriven type of sound. I think they said it's based off of Shay, this album, in terms of a story that he went through with some groupies or something. And it makes sense with the way that this flows because it feels like a journey through being in high school or being young and kind of having mixed emotions and thinking about yourself in a lot of different ways because you haven't had a level of experience.
Yeah.
That would make it fully balanced. Like, I think that a lot of this record, there's a lot of songs that sound similar and, like, even subject matter are very similar. Like, they're not, it's not overdone, but I think that there are a lot of similar records on this. And I think that that's just because there's such a deep channeled energy of, like, that youth, sex and rock and roll, man.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
No, I love that you're getting into this because it just dawns on me. So my daughter is 16, so she's in the middle of high school and going through exactly what you're talking about.
Pell, don't play this album for it.
Well, I was going to say, I should see what she thinks of it and if she on some level gravitates towards that kind of mix of stuff where I think you really said it perfectly, is that you are trying to encounter a world that you don't have a lot of experience with. And so there's kind of a a natural chaos that comes with it that I think is reflected somehow in the textures of the album and in the song content. So maybe I should be a little bit more judicious in thinking about whether or not I should intro her to this, but I wonder if she'd be into it at all. I think I already know maybe the answer to this question, because both of you have said that you came to this album a little bit late. But Pell, I was just thinking about how you're talking so much about the textures and the sonic feel of the LP. Right. And had either of you spent time with the first version, the so-called electronic version of the album that came out in 2001 in Europe, and then compared it with the version that we got here in the States that I mentioned, during the intro, because I went back just to kind of A-B a few of the songs to see what the differences were, because I had just forgotten that there were even two versions. And the differences, I don't think, are night and day, but they're still significant enough where I think the rock version, to me, just sounds better. It sounds more dynamic. So, for example, this is the electronic version, right? The first version of Brain that came out in 01.
No pain. Do I really even love you? Or do I really love your brain?
And then let's compare that with the O2 rock version. Obviously, mm-hmm. they add on other instrumentation, but I think just the addition of the live drumming and other live instrumentation just gives this a much punchier, present feel that to me was a little bit absent from the electronic version, even though the core parts of it might be completely identical. So I'm just wondering if either of you ever spent time with the earlier version and had thoughts about it.
I don't think I actually listened to the earlier version like that. The way that I actually heard some of those are through YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and there are unofficial like downloads that I did, and it was like a little bit off, and I was like, what is this? But because this is like before streaming, like you actually right. had to like purchase them. So I remember I tried to illegally download. Sorry, any ID. Sorry.
We all did it.
Hey, gotta get it how you live. So because of that, so I heard some of these versions and I knew that they were a little bit off, and I thought it was just somebody that was like making a version, and I was like, nah, this is it. So when you listen to the an initial version of a record or an album, I mean a song or a record, you fall in love with the way that you heard it first, because there's a story, there's a nostalgia there. And because of that, I didn't go back to listen to the other version as much, because of the fact that I had fallen in love with the rock version of this album. And I think as time went on, that just further cemented why I love this version. And I just, once again, I love the live production, mainly the live drums. That does so much. That gives so much energy.
'Cause I love her. I just love her. Well, baby, if he don't change his mind, or fate, or time.
We will be back with more of a conversation with Pell about NERD's In Search Of after you hear from some of our sibling Max Fun podcasts. Keep it locked.
The 2021 pin sale has begun. Thank you so much to everyone who participated in the Max Fun Drive. This is the last year for a while that we'll be doing pins for Max Fun Drive, and the fifth year that we'll be selling pins and donating all proceeds to charity. The past year proved what we already knew, that having access to the internet at home is a necessity for work, school, healthcare, and keeping in touch with family and friends. So the proceeds from this year's pin sale will go towards Everyone On, a nonprofit working to bridge the digital divide. We're grateful that with your support, we'll be able to help low-income folks gain access to affordable computers, internet services, and digital literacy programs. The sale will run until May 28th. Folks at the $10 monthly level and above will have access to all of the pins from the drive. That's 38 pins, one from every show on the network. We also have a special 2021 Max Fun Drive pin that all members can purchase. Go to MaximumFun.org/pinsale for more info. And to learn more about Everyone On and support them directly, you can go to EveryoneOn.org.
Whoa. We have wasted this world. Our magic put a storm in the sky that has rendered the surface of our planet uninhabitable. But beneath the surface, well, that's another story entirely. In a city built leagues below the apocalypse, survivors of the storm forge paths through a strange new world. Some seek salvation for their homeland above. Others seek to chart the vast undersea expanse outside the city's walls. And others still seek, what else? Fortune and glory. Dive into the Aether Sea, the latest campaign from the Adventure Zone, every other Thursday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yo, and we're back on Heat Rocks. We're talking NERDs in search of with our guest, Pell. Your song Juice, Pell's one of my faves, and I have been listening to it recently.
Juice, I've been underground making moves, but I'm in the night, let's prove. If you're down, girl, come through. You got the, you got the.
If you fall in love, don't fall.
To me, it has a very Neptunes-esque a quality to it. And I know that's your collab with Young Franco, but in general, how much of an influence has Neptune's production been on your own output and your own work?
I think it's very prevalent. I really like this question, by the way. I think it's very prevalent. And also thank you for loving Juice as much as you do.
It's fire.
That is, me and Young Franco are undefeated. Love that man. And I just love that type of sound. I guess I would call it like beach house in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Of, you know, how the rhythm is and just how energetic and summery it feels. Ironically, it came out right as COVID started taking the world by storm, or canceling the world. But yeah, I think overall in terms of production, I've always leaned towards something that glitches. I used to be very big into, in terms of like the drums or the cadence. I consider myself a percussionist in the way that first, if I'm ever making a beat or if I'm ever adding anything to a beat, I'm going to add some drums. And I know that that's just huge in terms of how I move to music. I think I'm from New Orleans. Bounce is big. Obviously, you have a culture of jazz, and I think, you know, rap is very close to jazz in terms of how, you know, we improvise, we freestyle, we kind of put a couple of things in there that to see if it all can blend. But in order to do that, you have to kind of master your instrument, and I feel like my instrument is understanding groove with respect to Pharrell, because respect to the Neptunes, I keep saying Pharrell, respect to Chad Hugo, you that dude. But yeah, like, because of what they did, I think that they showed the world how many different ways you can move to music and how many ways it can inspire you to move different ways. That's always been a big goal of mine when it comes to making music. So I'm always here for the interesting grooves. Yeah.
You know, you've mentioned, Pell, a couple times about how what you associate with the Neptune style of production is that glitchiness in the drone tracks. And I think that's completely on point. For me, though, what to me defines like the Neptune sound, especially from this era, it's those super thick bass lines that they created, I think, specifically on Korg synthesizers. And so I know that they use both the Triton and the 01/W models. And so, I mean, this is what we keep talking about Super Thug, and we should just actually play it for the audience, for those unfamiliar, because that has, this was the introduction to that synthesized bass line that I'm talking about.
Hello? Jackson here. Yeah, what? Found Manuel Noriega in the Philippines.
And there's something about that sound, and this is the point of it being synthesized, is you recognize it as an instrument. Like, in other words, it's not otherworldly, but it also doesn't sound natural. Like, it's in this weird space between those things. So my question here is there anything more early OOs than that Korg synthesizer chord? I mean, is there anything else that is as defining for early OO's pop than the Korg? Because I can't think of what else it could be, because that was so dominant. Because it wasn't just them. Timbaland was I think Timbaland was also using Korgs. I know Swizz Beatz I'm almost positive, was using the Triton in so much of his production from that same era. So you were just getting hit from a lot of different angles.
Now that you mention it, in terms of that being the gel or like the glue that tethers a lot of these things together, I mean, it's obviously there. I always thought of it as like, it just sounded like a dirty clav to me. Like basically like whatever the sound is, it's definitely reminiscent of that. And the funk that they obviously enjoy in the music that they listen to.
Yeah.
But they just make it dirty and and you can always feel that in every production that they put out. And I love that all around. That's awesome.
No, that's a perfect description. It's the dirty clav. It's not the Stevie Wonder clav of the '70s.
No,
this is inappropriate clav. Yeah.
100%.
Exactly. And it's so good because it gives you a lead line on every record. Because like chords are one thing and they do that very well too, I think, with, you know, bridges and hooks. That's where we're talking about the juxtaposition between we could even talk, this is a synth, it's not like a clav, but like Am I High kind of reminds me of that. Dun, 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 dun. And then like when it goes like into the chorus, it's like kind of like it gets huge, like, you know what I mean, like, and spacious. And a lot of the records that we love, there was always a lead line that anybody could kind of sing in their head along with the bars that were being spit or something like that. And shout out to them for the melodic side of all the records.
Yeah.
But just me being the way that I listen to music, I'm always listening to drums first. Right. So that's real, man. That's crazy.
I would say those chords are classic OOs, but also classic Neptunes. And what's also classic Neptunes and classic Pharrell is the signature four count. You can't,
oh, come on now.
That's in every that's in every production. And you'd be so hyped because you're like, well, what's coming after the four? And I just wanted us to listen to this little medley of songs, of Neptune songs and Pharrell songs, just so we can hear that. And Kristen, if you could play that bit.
Milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
I think it's safe to say. Yes.
I mean, there's just so many. That's that four count.
Yeah.
And what makes his production so exciting was that four count is prevalent no matter who's on the mic after. And you're just so excited to see what's coming after that four, that hard four.
What I never understood is that is one of the simplest ways to count off, right? I mean, it's not like they're doing something innovative necessarily, but no one else seemed to do it. And it was such an effective way to kick off a song. It always surprised me that more people weren't doing it, but it always felt, to your point, Morgan, that just felt like a Neptunes thing to do, as opposed to everyone is doing that boom, ba boom, ba boom,
yep,
ba boom, you know? So, yeah.
And those synths and whatever came out of that sort of video game sound, you just be like, ooh, I don't know where they're going, you know, but I'm ready to go. It's hard for me to think of that block of time that Oliver laid out and I laid out. It's hard for me to think of that without the Neptunes, right? I can't imagine what the game would be without them. And to me, what they brought to the game was options. It's so that they remind me of Kale. 10 years ago, anybody heard of Kale, right? Nobody heard of Kale?
I thought this was some artist named Kale. I'm like,
nope.
Wait, did I miss this?
Okay, we're talking actual about vegetable Kale
here. Okay, then, actual Kale. Okay.
And then Kale showed up on the scene, and all of a sudden Kale was like, people were getting Kale wraps. They were putting it in their smoothies. There were Kale chips. Everyone was up on Kale, 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 Kale. And that's the Neptunes. It's like, where do these guys come from? If you think about it, they've been around since SWV, right? But all of a sudden, they were everywhere and in everything.
I'm not sure I've ever heard anyone compare the Neptunes or NERD to Kale, but you heard it here first, people.
Yes. Yes. And I'm a person that doesn't really check for vegetables like that, But what I can say about kale is, you know, I don't know where it's been or where it came from, but it actually works and it makes everything excellent. And so that's what I think about the Neptunes. I mean, if it's romaine or kale, I'm going with kale. It's different. It's a little prickly, but I love it.
To bring this back to In Search Of, Pell, what is the fire track off of this LP for you? What is the one song that still gets you hyped almost 20 years later?
Okay. All right.
It's tough.
Long sigh.
Okay, so I still to this day think that Provider is the one that I play when I'm driving. I like to drive a lot. So when I'm driving, and also when I'm on tour now, because the world is about to open back up, I listen to this song all the time because it reminds me of, you know, a man having a purpose and trying to do the best that he can for his family and those who love him and support him.
I'm a rider, girl, gotta face the streets tonight. Me to go, but I have to.
I gotta go.
Please don't weep.
Hey.
I love you.
Don't cry.
I refuse.
Provider is like one of those songs on the record that stands out from everything else to me in the way that it slows it down, and it slows down the record, I mean. And it also, while simultaneously, explores a different side of NERD's like melodical content. I love it. It's very open.
Morgan, how about you?
And every show I know we're going to ask someone this question, and I always think, but it won't be me, but it is me. And so I'll have to say my fire track on here is Stay Together. I'm a music supervisor, and to me this song is one that I'd really like to place, obviously, if I had the budget and if the scene justified both the spend and the use. But I love how gaudy it is. I love Pharrell's leads, and I love his backgrounds. And I don't think we spend enough time talking about his vocals. And I love that he occupies a certain pocket. He ain't overrunning like a gospel singer. He's doing just enough. He's doing exactly what needs to be done on his falsetto. I think the song is busy, and it's super percussive. It's like, you know, drum cella, drums, drums. I love it. So it's the song on here that gives me pure joy while also being a bop.
You were my sun rays. Without you, girl, there was no day. Never dreamt to speak the phrase. Now what the fuck just happened? You were the heart.
Oof. That one's fire to me. That's the one that I went to first in prep for today's chat, and that's the one I'll probably listen to when we wrap.
Mm-hmm.
O-Dub.
Great selection.
Thank you, Pell. Thank you.
You know what's funny is because I'm about to share mine, but none of us picked, I think, the flashiest or most hyperactive songs off this album. We all went with, so you know, kind of the less perhaps obvious choices. For me, it's Run to the Sun. Mm-hmm. And again, it's definitely not the most energetic song on here, but it's the one that every time I come back into rotation on it, I just love the groove of it. And I think for me, even though for all the talk I mentioned earlier about the Neptunes, the signature, you know, Korg synthesizer sounds that they were using and the kind of muscularity of some of those things, but my favorite Neptunes productions are always the smoother stuff. So it's like Frontin', right, by Pharrell, or it's like Senorita by Justin Timberlake. And I think Run to the Sun off of this album comes closest in line with that smoother, groovy sound that the Neptunes can do as well.
I want to talk to you.
It's just so in the pocket. It's just so easy to settle into. And I think that's what makes that so, it's such a charming track for me. Let's talk a little bit about favorite moments off of this album. Mm-hmm. And I'll kick off with, it's the beginning of Am I High?
Yeah. La, 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 la.
I mean, is it me or does it sound like they snuck in Timbaland into the lab? Because that trill sound is so Timbo to me, and especially those bass lines. So this is not, I mean, again, this wasn't my fire track, but I just love that collision of sounds that opens Am I High. Morgan, how about you? You have a favorite moment off of this?
Oh, yeah. I have two favorite moments, if I can. My first favorite is the last half of Bobby James. Because it just becomes a different song. It starts out with Pharrell's vocals, which I love.
A lesson for you to learn, except you'd learn through me. You know, like in the movies, when it ends with the scream. Well, fuck face, I got news. This is real, and I did things.
Then it goes synthy instrumentals. He throws a sax in there. It's a different song at the end than it is in the beginning. So that's my favorite moment. My second one is the first 15 seconds of Things Are Getting Better. It's just so frenetic and crazy. It sounds like the beginning of Michael Jackson's Working Day and Night. It's got a lot of stuff going on. And that's 15 seconds of like, where are we going? Those are my two favorite moments. The tease at the beginning that you don't know what it's going to be. And for the first song, the tease at the end is that you don't know how it's going to finish. So I'd like the change ups in both.
Pell, how about you? You have any favorite moments?
Yeah, those are really good moments y'all mentioned. I really like the Bobby James. That's one for me too. But I think if I were to say something different, I would say Baby Doll. I love at the end of Baby Doll, there's like this part where it's a synth or it's a wave that's going on in the background that's kind of wobbling. And it's like, you know, eventually they get to this album called Seeing Sounds. But when I heard this, I could see that waveform moving in my head, literally, where it's like roses are red, yellow and white. That part when the waveform is just going crazy in the background, it's just a sound. It's crazy. I love that moment because it wakes me up every time. It feels like a line is going through your head. I love that. I love that. Very weird, random moment. And then I would have to say, I like little things in between for transitions. I'm big on transitions and sequencing. At the end of Tape You, whenever Pharrell says, and cut, I love just like a little personal, the music. I love silence. I love it when that happens.
It's just my fantasy. Don't be afraid. It's all right.
And cut.
Is there a song that you would love from this album? Is there a song that you would love to cover or remix or redo?
Well, you know where I'm going with this one. Provider, ding, ding, ding. I've thought about it several times, actually. I think that would be something that would be a good thing for me to cover and also add my own flavor to, because there's not so much in the production or the sound of the Neptunes to kind of distract from the song. And I think that would be great. I love that record. I love the lyrics. I love guitar. I actually am picking up guitar a lot more these days. So I think that would be something that would be very powerful.
When you're looking at a motherfucker just like me, I'm a rider, girl.
If you had to describe this album in three words, what would they be?
Again, you know what I'm going to say here. Sex, drugs, rock and roll.
Yes.
You know.
Indeed.
We always want to leave our audience with something else to listen to after this. So if you liked this week's album, we have some recommendations for what to check out next. I'll kick this off. And I would recommend that people go to the Neptunes Clones album from 2003. Even though I think In Search Of was the more interesting album in terms of its musical breadth, Clones to me just felt like classic Neptunes in terms of that kind of hit machine magic that I was used to, especially on songs like Pharrell's Frontin', or that super flangered out Busta Rhymes track, Light Your Ass on Fire.
So what if I said it, baby, I'm still gonna tell you. I hope your ass bigger than Winona and Thelma. Listen, it's Busta Rhymes, bitch, I ain't never fail ya. Your ass all over like paraphernalia. See, the police gonna jail ya for walking around with the kind of ass that'll kill ya now. Don't worry about it, I got money to bail ya. Shorty stacking like a mule, type of shit that'll scare ya.
Morgan?
I'd say stay with NERD and go to 2010's Nothing. I love this album. I love the surprises on this album. I love that it leads off with a song called Party People with T.I. and a song that I kept playing over and over and over on the radio, which is called Perfect Defect. I think you get all the production. I think you get the stylings of Pharrell. I think you get the weird and the abstract that you get with Chad. And I think it's just a feel good. This is 2010, so it's a little bit later. But I think you get everything that you love about what we're talking about today. And I just think it's a perfect album. When
friends turn to love the end. I know it's always something, but they ain't talking about nothing. This is my car jumping. Cinderella, no pumpkin. I don't care who gets you. I don't care what they don't.
And Pell, ending with you. If people really loved In Search Of, what do you think they should check out next?
I think they should definitely check out Seeing Sounds. I think Seeing Sounds is my favorite record from them.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Heat Rocks with our special guest, Pell. Let us know what you're working on now, and where can people find you in these streets?
Hey, you can find me online because I haven't got my second vax yet. No, I'm just kidding. You can find me in the streets. We out here. But online, you can find me at Pell. Yeah, right now I'm working with, which is Pell Yeah, on all my social media. So Twitter, Instagram, I have a TikTok. That actually is different. So it's at Pell Yeah, FR. Oh yeah, fucking right. So it's at Pell Yeah, FR on TikTok. I only have like two TikToks, but holla at your boy. I'm probably making some more soon. Right now I'm working with a collective of 20 plus New Orleans artists, 10 producers, different managers, lawyers, and countless other creatives in the city of New Orleans, all from the city of New Orleans, and it's called Global Warming. It's a collective that I founded along with now my good friend Nate Cameron, who is a manager in the city. We just dropped our first project called Global Warming Volume 1, which has been an amazing ride because it's such a big collective and there's such a good community energy around it. We were just in the NAACP Image Awards. We've been featured on countless other things locally as well as on Complex XXL. And I really encourage everybody to check out our lead single, 504, which features myself, Crucial, and Sleazy Easy, all from New Orleans, and is produced by the legendary Nio Da Vinci. Nio Da Vinci passed last year, and so it's a really big record for all of us to share, and it has that New Orleans flavor, while the classic flavor of a second line while, you know, showing where we're headed in a progressive way. The last thing I'm gonna leave y'all with is I am working on a new project, a Pell project, that is by far my best music I've ever made. It's been a long time in the works. It's a series of three different stages of my life, but I'm excited to release that to the world at the end of the year, or before the end of the year. So I'm excited about that one. So you'll hear a lot from me soon.
You've been listening to Heat Rocks with me, Oliver Wong, and Morgan Rhodes.
Our theme music is Crown Ones by Thess One of People Under the Stairs. Shout out to Thess for the hookup.
Heat Rocks is produced by myself and Morgan, alongside Christian Duenas, who also edits, engineers, and does the booking for our shows.
Our senior producer is Laura Swisher, and our executive producer is Jesse Thorne.
We are part of the Maximum Fun family, taping every week live in their studios in the Westlake neighborhood of Los Angeles.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.